ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
How about that?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory 8-count, and Foreman is as poised as can be!
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
If he gets through this, Dragnet, it's as slippery as a nail in a barrel full of oil.
Pedro Fernandez.
It works for me.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-multi-million-dollar sports byline HQ in the city by the bay, San Francisco, this is Ring Talk. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next 2 hours, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio. We've got a brand new Sirius XM satellite radio channel. It's satellite channel 217. Sirius channel 217. That's our new Sirius XM channel. Of course, we're on XM radio as well, channel 203. But straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide for the next 2 hours, live on Sports Byline. Of course, we will have the Godfather Larry Merchant talking about the Spence fight in Ashland. Of course, Earl Spence still undefeated now with the 27 and zip. Of course, 21 stops. Danny Garcia. It's the same old story with Danny. He doesn't show up to fight. I mean, with guys that he's bigger than, or guys maybe he's got a little age advantage over, he's willing to go for it, okay? But he never goes for it and fights where it really matters. And guess what? When you fight guys that are bigger than you, size matters. Believe me, you have to go after them. I mean, I remember Chris Gomez telling me in the Golden Glove Championship that I won. He said, I was fighting Keith Rucker. He was 6'2". This guy was boxing everybody. He said to me, if you box him, you will get beat. Go out and beat him up. Break him down. That's what you had to do. Danny Garcia didn't have the intestinal fortitude to even try to break Earl Spence down last night. He landed a few infrequent punches, but outside of that, I thought it was a rout. Of course, outside of that, we'll talk with Larry Merchant. We'll bring in Earl Spence. Henry Cejudo will be here, talking about his retirement from the UFC. And, of course, we'll hear from Danny Garcia after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, baby. Coming to you from Sports Byline HQ.
What was it tonight that it seemed like you were not using your jab enough? Was it the way he was defending you most of the night?
No, I just think he had a pretty good jab. He had a pretty good jab. It was rangy. It was throwing my timing off a little bit. And I think that was the key in the fight, his jab. But that's pretty much it. Everything else, I was adapted to it. I knew he was going to go to the body. I knew he was going to throw his looping left hands. But his jab was a little better than I expected.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I don't think there was a punch last night that Earl Spence threw, and I'm not talking about every punch he threw, but I mean the various punches through hooks, right hands, left hands. In other words, I thought he hit Danny with everything he had. I mean, not super hard. He's not the greatest puncher in the world. 21 KOs and 27 wins indicates he can punch. But last night, Danny Garcia didn't show up. I mean, the bottom line is, you have to go for it. I keep stressing this over and over again. Of course, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And when you have the size disadvantage against you and you have the speed going against you, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go there and try to test this guy's speed? You can't be countering him. He wasn't Roberto Duran trying to counter Sugar Ray Leonard last night. He was like just a guy trying to go the 12 rounds and make some money. Danny was trying to make the money. Danny went for the money, was no doubt about it. Spence, as I said, 27 zip, 21 KOs. Here's what he said post-fight.
Errol, Danny said that he thought the jab controlled the fight tonight. What made that so effective, and did you expect that to be as successful as it was throughout the evening?
It was just, you know, just common sense, basically. I mean, I was the taller person. He had the shorter arms, and, you know, that I always had a great jab. So that's what we was working on. We were working on using the jab, setting everything up with the jab, and basically just outpointing him. You know, that's, I think, you know, I did well using my jab.
You know, is there everyone was wondering how you were going to
be really proud of me? I think Lennox Lewis would be really proud of me using my jab like the way I did.
Right. You know, I think a lot of folks were wondering how you were going to take a punch after the accident. Is there one tonight that maybe you were proud of how well you were able to respond?
No, because I had a, 10, 12-week, training camp where I was sparring. So, I mean, I was taking the punches in sparring, so I wasn't, surprised. I was taking a punch in a fight because, it was, something that, I've been taking. So I wasn't surprised at all, and I always had a great chin.
All right, we'll take our next question from Jeremy Harridges. Jeremy, you can unmute yourself and ask your question.
How would you appraise your performance? How would you rate yourself?
I give myself a B. I think I had a little bit of ring rust in there, but, I think I was just in such great shape and had a great training camp and took everything serious where, I can overwhelm, I can just not be discouraged by, me having ring rust and things like that. So, I feel like just working my jab and using my angles and boxing, was the best move, and that's what I basically did.
Obviously, everyone's talking about Terrence Crawford. Is that a legitimate chance of happening, or do you guys feel like you're miles and miles apart?
I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, seeing my kids tomorrow and chilling on my ranch and finally riding my horses after 10, 12 weeks and, just chilling out and eating some good food. So we'll see what holds in the future. But right now, just to enjoy myself. I had a long year and a half, to come back and, work hard, train hard, and it just was 120% focused. And I'm going to wind down for like a week or two until I get back on the ball.
Earl Spence, of course, the reigning WBC and IBF 147-pound title holder, a winner last night. The scores were 116-112 twice. That's 8-4 in rounds, 117-111. I thought 8-4 in rounds was a bit generous to the lad from Philadelphia. Now, on the line from Santa Monica is the man himself. I'm talking about the retired HBO godfather. Larry Merchant, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm pretty good. And by the way, once upon a time, I was a lad from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know, but that's where you sort of sprang to fame. I mean, if I remember right from what you've told me over the years, is that you went to work at the Philadelphia Daily News or the Enquirer, one or the other, as a photo boy, and then you moved your way up to sports editor, and then you became like soon the godfather at HBO.
Well, after spending 10 years in New York writing a column, but I still feel a certain kind of visceral affection for things from Philadelphia, mm-hmm. especially their fighters. And I've always thought that Danny Garcia was a pretty good fighter, a pretty good Philadelphia fighter, but they don't produce them the way they used to.
Godfather, when you're faced against a guy that's so much bigger than you, you've got these insurmountable odds physically against you.
Right.
You have to do something dramatic. You have to go for it. I remember what Ray Leonard told me when we were like comparing ankles in a hot tub in Florida one time. He told me the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter is the willingness to gamble. There were fights where I fought guys who were much bigger than me, and if I didn't do stuff that was extraordinary, I wasn't going to win.
As Ali used to say, it's great to want to be great. I don't know how many prize fighters are willing to scale that mountain.
I guess you got a point there. And I was watching last night, they had a 6'6" junior middleweight on the undercard, and he won pretty easily. Of course, he was a guy who was like a foot taller than the other guy. But I was thinking about that, fighting a 6'6" guy. Good Lord, Godfather. I mean, you and I aren't the biggest guys in the world. Imagine a 6'6" super welterweight.
Yeah, he can throw jabs while sitting on his stool.
All right, now, I don't want to sound like a killjoy or anything like that, but how come I'm not all excited about Terrence Crawford and Earl Spence fighting if they do fight? I mean, why am I just an old curmudgeon now?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
It's okay to be a curmudgeon.
Okay.
But that fight, to me, is one of the fights that any boxing fan would want to see. Two undefeated welterweights in their primes still to settle it for once and all.
Good point.
I don't know how badly their promoters want the fight because somebody's going to lose. But maybe the fight's so good that they do it one or two more times. But that's a must-make and must-see fight.
But both promoters are sort of confident in their guys, which is sort of cool. Bob Arum wants the Errol Spence fight, you know, and the Premier Boxing Champions. Of course, they would like the Crawford fight. I think they're going to put that together. Of course, they're doing – I'll say one thing. Al Haymon's doing some politicking. He's got Canelo Alvarez under his fold temporarily, at least for one fight.
Well, if he can find a way to pay the kid, who's used to, eight-figure, payoffs, good for him. That's what the marketplace, dictates these days.
Harvard graduate, Al Haymon. Can you tell me anything about Haymon? Do you know anything about Al Haymon? Is he the mystery man of boxing or what?
Well, I think, you know, he managed and agented for a number of entertainers before he got into boxing.
Okay.
And I guess he was successful in part because he was willing to stay in the background and be the polar opposite of Don King and let the glory and the attention settle on the shoulders of the fighters. And in that way, create something that might be a star.
Godfather, I think I might have to disagree with you there because I think Al Haymon might be in the witness protection program. We never see pictures of him ringside. We never see pictures of him. I mean, there's like three pictures of him in the entire internet.
Well, I saw him a number of times when I was at HBO. If he had a fighter, particularly a fighter who's had some problems outside the ring, which is not unusual with fighters, he would come to the fighter meetings and sit there as a kind of editor. And if we got into certain kinds of stuff, he would jump in and try to protect his fighter and so on and so forth. That's the only time you would see him around the fight.
Yeah. Before we go to the break, sort of reminds me of the time Hulk Hogan was in the midst of that steroid scandal, and I cornered him at a press conference in Las Vegas and asked him some questions, and his agent starts screaming at me, "How dare you ask him any questions?" I go, "This is a press conference. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. HBO Godfather's in the house to talk about Mr. Patricia Merchant." Did I get that right? Yes, I did. Anyway, bottom line is Larry's in the house. We'll spend some time with Larry up until about 40 minutes past the hour. If you want to spend some time with us on the toll-free, you can, 1-800-878-7529 or via the text, 415-275-1613. The guilt-free text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one.
This week there was a full moon known as the Beaver Moon, which can be seen about a month after a waxing moon.
That's a good joke. That's a good one.
Insiders are saying that producers for the Broadway hit Hamilton are planning to reopen the show on July 4th, hopefully with some goddamn white actors this time.
Drake has released a line of scented candles that smell like him. And unfortunately, so has DJ Khaled. Doctors in China removed more than 120 magnetic beads swallowed by a 5-year-old boy. Wow. Wait till his boss at the factory hears about this. Sorry.
Firefighters in Florida rescued a horse that fell into a septic tank and was nearly submerged in raw sewage. A horse submerged in raw sewage is also known as an Arby's beef and cheddar.
Arby's, we eat the horse.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He's got a crazy gas tank, crazy gas tank.
Gotta have a little SNL humor. Michael Che, Colin Jost. I saw Colin in a theater up in Northern California about a year ago. Man, what an act he put on as far as his stand-up material is concerned. And he's one of the richest guys in the world, believe me. His family's rich and he married into money, so like he's a double billionaire. Just like my guy on the line, Larry Merchant, a double billionaire except right. In knowledge, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Let's talk about the world at large right now. We've got this COVID thing running crazy. The California governor is going to shut everything down during Christmas season. And, you know, and I'm pro shut it down because I want to snuff this thing out. I don't want the hospitals going crazy and people dying in the waiting rooms and things like that. And that's what I don't think everybody seems to understand. People think, you know, their rights are being taken away. I heard people screaming at me this morning, Pedro, you know what you're talking about. I said, you don't know what you're talking about because if the hospitals get full and we can't put people in hospital beds, where are they going to go?
Well, smarter people than me have to figure that out. But I agree with you that, you know, we have to close the show. We've gone through this for more than half a year, and we just have to hunker down and beat this thing. And I understand people want to get out and about and work, and that's why it's called a crisis, and that you have to make these bad choices, but you must make them and get over it.
Godfather, a lot of small businesses, including maybe my own, might fail or go under in that. Do you think the government has some type of obligation to help people out? Because, you know, these PPP loans, I think the Trump administration got a bunch of them for their hotels, but most small businesses in California didn't get those loans and went to corporations.
Well, hopefully in the next round that will be partially corrected. When there's a lot of money out, public money out there, corporations, banks, whatever, always seem to have first divvies, as we used to say. But they employ a lot of people as well. So these are hard choices. Who gets the vaccine first or second or third? Who gets the public money to help them through this pandemic? There are guys who get paid big bucks or guys who get paid small bucks trying to figure this thing out. And nobody knows because we haven't gone through a major pandemic in a century.
But you know, when we had the polio issues and when I was a kid, you know, the federal government made sure that we got the polio vaccines. They put it together and they put programs together. There's no program put together as far as the COVID's concerned. Or we're like 9 months into this. And I know we're in transition between presidents and things like that. And that sort of adds to my worries.
Well, you know, these things, these kinds of COVID epidemics are a lot different than some previous ones, which were solved by scientists. Jonas Salk, for example, with the polio. But now we're talking about a country that's 2 to 3 times bigger than it was in those days, and a COVID-19 that has not been seen before, and so they're trying to figure it out. They want to figure it out as much as we want them to, and hopefully on the vast scale of our country, almost 350 million people, they can organize this and get us back to work.
Yeah, it is a bit crazy, but you know, as I cruised through San Francisco the other night, last night, most of these sidewalk restaurants and this and that are really packed. I mean, there was not, I'm talking about elbow to elbow, but they were closer than I would have felt comfortable. I don't know. The outdoor dining thing, you know, I got a little paranoid about that because there's people talking loud and they're all around you and this and that, and there's still,
right.
You know, so there's nothing, there was nothing real, it was a little safer than dining inside, but it wasn't safe per se.
You know, we had an engagement with two friends to come for dinner last night with our doors wide open and the breeze coming in and so on and so forth. And yesterday morning, my wife and I, Patricia and I, decided, you know, let's just skip this. This isn't a good idea. And we want to engage with our friends and relatives as much as anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we call the dinner off. And they, our guests, seemed as happy that we called it off, before they did. So we've just decided, we're going to be safer than sorrier.
You know, I a couple of friends of mine are not swinging that way. I mean, I don't want to name them, but they're just not swinging that way, and they're telling me that I'm full of spit and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I and I'll bring this up. I was going to do a concert with a DJ that was a retired DJ and bring him back as far as a mix was concerned. And he was a pastor locally, and he ran a church. And we were talking about doing this card in June, and of course we canceled it because of the show in June because we canceled because of COVID. And then he told me he was going to open up his church to live people again. And this was a few months ago, and I told him, I won't mention his name. I said, listen, man, you're nuts. You're absolutely out of your mind. He goes, no, man, God will protect me. Well, now he's on a ventilator in the hospital. His wife has it. Both of his kids have it, and most of his flock has it. Godfather, what can I say?
That says it all. It's not going to happen in every instance, but the odds are lowered that something can happen when you go to group events. And, hey, what is it, 15 or 20 people from the White House have had brushes with COVID and COVID itself. You would think they knew better.
But don't you think they're getting better drugs than us?
Perhaps. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, Godfather, so with you guys being in solitary confinement for the next week, I guess, do you and Patricia fight when you're in solitary confinement? Do you guys go to your corners and, like, glove up?
No, Patricia spends a lot of time upstairs, and I spend a lot of time downstairs.
Well, say hello to the lady upstairs for me. Give her my best. Of course, the holidays are coming up. We've got all kinds of good holidays coming up. Of course, the holiday season amongst us. Godfather, I wish you the very best. And what can I say? Week in and week out, there wouldn't be Ring Talk without Larry Merchant. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and so do all the listeners.
Thank you, Pedro, and thank you, listeners, for me.
And before I go, we did play taps yesterday for a relative of yours.
Well, that is very sweet of you.
Okay, I'm talking about Ellen Merchant. She passed away this past week. Of course, Larry's sister, 83 years old, 83 years young. We can never miss our people enough. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Have a mother for me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Look here. There was a time when I was all alone. I had a secret. Thought I was gone.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in.
All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Little Sam and Dave. I think I saw Sam or Dave, one of them, at the 40th anniversary for Tower of Power back, I think, in 2008 at the Fillmore Auditorium, of course, here in San Francisco. One of them was there. I'm not sure both of them was there. I think it was Sam. Bottom line is, he was still rock and rolling. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA across the pond. In a fight that some people thought was boring, I only saw clips of it. I didn't watch the entire 36 minutes, but for the what I watched, I thought that Lyndon Arthur was doing, of course, this was where we were fighting for the Commonwealth Light Heavyweight Championship. In other words, like the British Empire, the European Championship, et cetera. Anyway, bottom line is this guy, Lyndon Arthur, was a 6-1 underdog with only 12 KOs, 17 KOs, 17 wins. But he took on Anthony Yardley. Of course, he's managed by Andre Ward, the son of God, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, of course, the unbeaten heavyweight unbeaten light heavyweight champion, super middleweight champion. I mean, he was a man, no doubt about that. Andre Ward, of course, retired with an unblemished record, erasing the doubts that may have creeped up after that first Kovalev fight where the people thought he got a Las Vegas decision down there. The American guy got the hometown nod, but back in the rematch, man, he buried Kovalev, of course, and then he would retire. But Anthony Yardley, now 19-2, 18 KOs, a big puncher. This guy's supposed to be a killer. Oh, I kept hearing all the stuff about this guy. Anyway, last night he fought very passively, but unbelievably, this one judge had it 117-111 for him. I think it was John Lewis. I almost fell off my chair. I mean, I didn't watch the entire 36 minutes, but I watched about 32 minutes of the fight. Maybe I got up a couple times and went in the other room. But the bottom line is, this guy won the fight and he won it going away. I'm talking about Lyndon Arthur. Bottom line is Lyndon Arthur post-fight.
That was a tough fight. It wasn't tough, like, grueling, like, with the all-out war. It was just, we was constantly, both of us was both constantly thinking in it. And it's obviously tiring doing it. Obviously, we're both great operators. And I just felt like I outboxed him. I felt like I only did a catch him with a couple of right hands. A few probably could count on just about two hands. How many times I caught him with the right hand, but the jab works. A jab will take you around the world.
Well, we saw that last week, didn't we, with Joe Joyce? And he used it to brilliant effect tonight.
Yeah, I've seen him mark his face up in the first round, only a little bit, but that's what it worked, you know what I mean? And we did it.
He was big as 6-1 before the fight.
Okay, man, the bookie. Excuse my French. Yeah, that's what you get for having me all low odds, high odds, whatever you call it. I don't bet, I'm not a gambling man, but if I should have done.
Yeah, you were just saying then that a few people have won a few quid on you.
Yeah, man, my friends have won good money on me, man. Good money. So, Merry Christmas, boys.
Was there a few nervy moments when they announced split decision?
Yeah, like I said in the interview after it, I said if it would have went his way, he did well. The last round, he caught me with a great body shot. But I'm a warrior, I'm a soldier. You know, I took his shots. So he caught me with a good right hand in about the second round or the third round, and I caught it. I was fresh. It didn't hurt. The only time it hurt me was in the last round, and that was it. And the headshots didn't hurt me. The body shot hurt me, and that's what made him be able to open up. But that was the only round I felt like I lost heavily. Over the night, it was just jabs and a cup on the odd right hand.
And Anthony obviously didn't agree with the decision.
Of course, he's not going to. He's not going to, but, you know, he obviously felt like he won. He's a great fighter. We're both great fighters. We're both ranked in the world. We both come here and put it on the line. He didn't have to fight me. He's come from Kovalev. Thank you for the opportunity. But we, you know, we get it on again. We've got a rematch call anyway. We get it on.
So that's definitely going to happen, you think?
Probably, most definitely. And I'm not one of them guys that are going to just run now. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Bottom line is easy now. The unbeaten Commonwealth light heavyweight champion, Lyndon Arthur, 17 zip, 12 KOs. Anthony Yardley now 19-2. Ah, he thought he won. And that one judge that said 117-111, and then the other two judges gave it to the 6-1 underdog, 115-114. Let me tell you, folks, this was a clear indication of the judges not believing their eyes. They couldn't believe what was going on. In other words, it was Superman against Mighty Mouse, and Mighty Mouse won. I mean, it was at the odds, 6-1. Those are long, long odds in boxing. 6-1 odds are super long. I mean, Sonny Liston was like 5-1 over, George Foreman was like 5-1 over Muhammad Ali back in the day and Sonny Liston. So, I mean, 6-1's even longer. Bottom line is, he was a 6-1 underdog. He won. I thought majority of the rounds, maybe 8-4, maybe 9. I didn't say to think too much, Yardy. I mean, I tuned in to see what Yardy was going to come back with. Well, Mr. Yardy didn't come back with us. As far as Andre Ward being his manager is concerned, I think they need to go back to the drawing board. Get this. 2016 Olympian Muhammad Ali. That's what I kid you not. Muhammad Ali, a 2016 Olympian from the UK, moved to 2-0, has no knockouts, with a 6-round decision over Jamie Quinn. Now, let me tell you about Jamie Quinn. Good fighter? I don't know. 7 wins. Are you ready for this? 106 losses and 2 KOs. I kid you not. 106 losses and 2 KOs. Take that back. 3 KOs, and he's been knocked out 3 times in 106 losses. So he obviously knows how to go the distance. I mean, he's a go-the-distance type of guy. But the bottom line is, Muhammad Ali, he should be arrested for using that name. And the Olympic youth gold medalist, Carol Acuna, outpointed Louis Van Poch, and they were fighting, I think, at 124. And they brought him in another bum. The bottom line is 9 wins, 124. What are they doing in the UK? 9 wins, 124 losses, and 2 KOs? I mean, this is not the way boxing should be. I understand that you've got to do, you've got to favor fights. I mean, I put together cards before, and you try to favor your hometown guy with a little bit. Am I trying to make it like a 65-35 fight or a 60-40 fight? Because you make those 50-50 fights, you know, and the guy's selling tickets for you, and you're sitting there biting your fingernails like Don Chargan used to do all the time. Don Chargan had a fine, fine hand of manicure. I mean, his nails looked good, right, until fight night. And then they were just mashed. He was just mashed. Of course, I'm talking about the late Hall of Famer out of Sacramento, California. His fame came to fame at the Olympic Auditorium, boxing at the Olympic course in the 70s and 80s. But when he moved up to Sacramento, Don became his own guy. Of course, got Tony the Tiger Lopez, and Lopez would have those great fights up there in Sacramento with people like Jorge Mayromero, Paez. I mean, big-time money fights. Tony Lopez made a lot of money up there. And, of course, now somebody asked me about Tony the other day. He's a bail bondsman. If you get locked up in Sacramento or Northern California, I guess in California, period, you can call Tony the Tiger bail bonds up there in Sacramento, California, and he will take care of you. Now, of course, we've got the upcoming fights. Oh, want to mention this. Billy Joe Saunders, is he going to be next for Canelo? Canelo, of course, has a fight with Caleb Plant that's going to go down the 19th of December. That's going to be on, you know, some type of DAZN. And, of course, I thought they got rid of DAZN, but it looks like they're going to go back and do this thing with DAZN and PBS. So looks like Al Haymon's involved as well. And, of course, Al Haymon, we talked about him a little bit earlier with Larry Murch. He's sort of the guy behind the scenes, the guy that doesn't want his face out there. And Larry said he's seen him several times. I've only seen, like, maybe 2 or 3 times in my entire life. I've been to a few fights, but I've only seen him a couple of times, and one was at a meeting that he was going into and I was coming out of. So the bottom line is Al Haymon is sort of like the unknown guy as far as boxing is concerned. Of course, a Harvard graduate got $500 million seed money to put this thing together, this PBS thing. A lot of the money came from the UK, I'm told, from the Brits. Anyway, $500 million to put this thing together, premier boxing champions, of course, and he did pretty well. Of course, he had Floyd Mayweather for a while, but I don't think Mayweather was dipping any money into the coffers, per se. Mayweather was taking. Mayweather's a take guy. More power to Floyd. Floyd got every cent that he deserved, every cent that he made, and I got to give him props because he went out there and he took money. I mean, think about this. If Floyd made $40 million on a fight, or $50 million on a fight all by himself, what were the promoters making before he was getting that kind of money? They were making that kind of money, $40, $50 million a fight. So, of course, Floyd turned things around, and more power to the fighters, because fighters don't get paid enough. And I can't stress this week in and week out, the residual effects of professional boxing and or combat sports in general, they're just not pretty. They're not. I mean, everybody, I don't want to say everybody, but the people that suffer residual effects, sometimes you can see it, sometimes you can't. I know guys that go to bed early at night and sleep 10, 12 hours, of course, and then I know guys that can't sleep because of boxing. So I know guys that have headaches because of boxing. I know one guy that had a ringing in his ear, like, for 5 or 6 years, and one day he woke up and it was gone, but he had a ring, he got knocked out, and he had a ringing in his ear for 5 or 6 years, and he said it rang really heavy in the morning, and then it would sort of die down at night so he would fall asleep. But the bottom line is, the residual effects of combat sports are nasty, and people just don't know it. Coming up, hour number 2, of course, I will bring in the former UFC champion. I'm talking about Henry Cejudo. Of course, the guy that said, you know, Dana White, you got to pay me heavyweight money. But then he got hurt. He had his shoulder operated on. Of course, he's retired as of now. But the former champion at 125, 135 explains why he retired. But the bottom line is, he wasn't getting paid the heavyweight money. back to pimping. Of course, Dana White, of course, had a card last night. Jake Hermanson lost in the main event. He was supposed to win, but he lost in the main event. Wasn't that much of a thing on ESPN. I think they had 7 bouts in all. They don't have any bouts. They don't have any athletes. They don't have any superstars. They're looking to put together the featherweight champion. His name was Figueroa, I believe. The flyweight champion, or their anointed flyweight champion after Henry Cejudo retired, or split and left the UFC. They put him in action 2 weeks ago, and now he's going to fight again in like a week and a half. I kid you not. So that's how hurting they are for athletes. So they're putting guys that just had fights and fights again in main events again because of the fact they lack talent. Of course, $4.2 billion, $4,200 million. $4,200 million. That's how much they paid for the UFC. And I don't think they're getting their value. I mean, right now, UFC Heavyweight Championship, what can I say? Stipe Miocic, not too many people excited about that. Why? Stippy's a good fighter, but Francis Ngannou's the monster. That's the guy we want to see him for. The rematch, the first time they went toe-to-toe in the first round, Stippy almost got knocked out, but he weathered the storm, and he took Francis to the ground, and Francis was one of those guys that I can only fight standing up. He couldn't fight laying down at all, so he lost the fight going away. I mean, after the first round, he lost. He got gassed. But I don't think he's going to gas in the rematch. I think he knocks out anybody he fights right now. Francis Ngannou is the monster of the heavyweight division. I think he is probably one of the guys that can can make the transfer to professional boxing and be a threat in professional boxing. Of course, he was originally a professional boxer in Paris, France before I think he lost one fight, got knocked out or something like that. Anyway, he had a decent record, but he was a professional boxer campaigning in Paris, France before he turned into the world of UFC and MMA. So he can fight. He can box. There's no doubt about it. That's why I'm telling you he's going to be the super athlete unless Dana White decides he's not going to go with him. And Dana can do that because Dana's the god of the UFC. You know, whatever Dana says happens. And unfortunately, when you have absolute power, it's absolutely corruptible. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing and MMA. Open phone lines around the planet. Guess who's joining us now on number two? Stitch. That's what they call him. That's what a nickname that would be. Of course, we're talking about Cutman Jacob Duran. Jake Duran, of course, Northern California originally, now living in Sin City, Las Vegas, has taken over all the big fights. You see him in the bubble all the time. He's one of the Cutmen that's been assigned to the bubble in all the big ESPN fights. So more power to him. He's working when other guys aren't. So we'll talk with the employed, Mr. Employment. I'll talk about Jake Stitch Duran at hour number two. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. This is your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts.
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, I love listening to this song. Puff Daddy and Sting put it together, of course, at the Grammys. Talking about the notorious B.I.G. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You want to see a freak show? This guy from Coachella, California, down in the valleys, baby. I'm talking about Sebastian Fandora. Now 16-0 with a draw, 11 KOs. Wow, what can I say? He's like 6'6". He's fighting 154 pounds. Anyway, he picked up this guy by the name of Habib Ahmed. He was 27-1 coming in. Pretty good record, 18 KOs out of Accra, Ghana. But he was brought in at the last minute from Accra, Ghana to fight. I mean, when you come in from Ghana at the last minute, or you're getting off a plane like at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to fight at 10 o'clock at night, something like that. That's basically what they put him through, okay? And he was 6 feet tall, but he couldn't fight much, even though he had a good record. Couldn't fight against a guy that was 6'6". Anyway, Fandora looks like he's a guy that's going to possess a problem for a lot of people. And in other words, he's one of those guys like, you have to gamble to beat him because you're not going to stand there and outbox him. Like Errol Spence last night, Danny Garcia. Danny was trying to outbox him. It was like, that was futile. It was like, it was like stupid insanity. What is it? Einstein said it's insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, that was Danny Garcia last night against Errol Spence, and that's anybody against this guy Fundora. As far as 154 pounds is concerned, people say he should be fighting at 160. In fact, the Boxing's PhD put him down for fighting at 154 because I think Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer himself, is about junior middleweight, and he wouldn't want to tangle with this guy anyway. That was on the Spence undercard. That looks pretty good as far as a future fight is concerned. He's fun to watch. I mean, Hector Martinez says he has no footwork whatsoever. You don't have to have footwork. He stepped across the ring and made one step and cut off the entire ring on the dude. I said to myself, yikes! Yikes! I mean, how would you fight a guy like that? I just wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how to fight him. He's just way too big. 6'1", 6'2", maybe you got a chance boxing a guy if you're 5'8 or 5'9", and I've beaten guys that big, but 6'6", I just don't think so. Anyway, upcoming boxing schedule. Looks like somebody's going on pay-per-view with something called the Vibe Network. Alejandro Santiago and Eric Gonzalez are gonna hook it up in a bantamweight fight, 118 pounds, 12-rounder, December 8th. Check out your pay-per-view TV guide for that. December 9th, UFC Fight Pass has got some boxers on that. They've got a little channel where they're putting boxers and any type of MMA, UFC as well on this UFC Fight Pass card. It's Lester Martinez versus Uriel Gonzalez fighting in 168. December 10th, UFC Fight Pass as well coming back. And December 12th, The Zone, Anthony Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medalist, of course, former world heavyweight champion in my mind. Former, although he's got a couple of belts, man. He got beat by Auntie Louise. Come on. That's like Andy Ruiz to lose to him. Remember how Donald Trump would be the worst thing in the world for him to lose to Joe Biden? He got his ass kicked by Joe Biden. Well, same thing happened here with, I'm talking about Anthony Joshua and, of course, Mr. Fat Boy, Auntie Louise. Anyway, of course, Auntie Louise losing the rematch, showing up at 300 pounds, 317 to start training camp. He should be arrested for doing that. Hour number two of Ring Talk coming up. We'll hear from Henry Cejudo and, of course, Jake Stitch Duran, Cut Man of the Stars, next up on hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming up after the news. Yeah!